Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In writing the sermon on Hebrews chapter 13, especially looking at our first few verses, let brotherly love continue, my first thought was to begin with a story about myself, me being a good big brother, showing brotherly love to my younger siblings. Unfortunately, I ran into the same problem this week trying to come up with a story that I did about 3 years ago when I was trying to think of some good embarrassing stories about my little brother to tell his then fiance, now wife, to embarrass him. All my stories involve me embarrassing him, or me doing something and getting them into trouble. Yeah, I was that kind of big brother. Instead, the best story about brotherly love that I could think of was not about me showing brotherly love to either of them, but actually about my younger sister showing sisterly love, if you will, to me. You probably know at least parts of this when it happened less than a year ago after Amy's death. It was very devastating for Sarah because it was devastating for all of us. I don't think anyone wasn't impacted or affected in some way by it. But it hit Sarah pretty badly since Amy was her favorite sister for close to 8 years until my brother got married and then she had two sisters. And Sarah looked up to Amy. They had a lot of interests in common. They talked about writing, they talked about reading. And so Amy's death was, and the fact that Sarah was about 5 countries away when it happened, was pretty hard on her. Thank God she was able to arrange her travel to come to Kansas only a couple of days later so she could be here with the rest of the family. But the part that I want to highlight is actually what happens after the funeral, after everyone else had gone back to the East Coast. You may remember that Sarah decided to stay in Kansas from pretty much the moment that she got back into the States, aside from a transfer in Houston, up until everyone else came out around just after Christmas. In part, she decided to stay because she was on her Christmas break from school, and so there wasn't anything pressing for her to do in New Jersey. But mostly, she stayed because she knew that that's what I needed. So she stayed with me for the whole month until the family came back after Christmas, and we spent some time together, and then everyone returned to New Jersey. She did a bunch of the cleaning that I was in no position to do at that time. She organized the things that I couldn't even begin to think about organizing. We played games, watched movies, hung out with Amy's sisters. Honestly, I don't know if I could have gotten through those weeks if Sarah hadn't been there to keep me company. And that's the kind of love that my sister has for me. And that's the kind of love that the writer of Hebrews means when he begins our reading today with, let brotherly love continue. The Greek term here is Philadelphia, as in the city Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. It's a combination of two words. Philia means love, although more in the sense of friendship or affection. And then adelphos means brother. And the feminine would be adelpha, or adelphe, sister. And so what we're talking about here is the love and care and affection that you would have for a friend, or even more, for a sibling, a brother or a sister. In Proverbs 18, it says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. It is that care and affection that takes someone from being an acquaintance or a companion to being a friend who's closer than a brother that we are talking about here. And so, how is it that you love your brother or sister? In part, it means that you care about them, you want them to succeed at what they do, and of course, what better example than my own? I was excited when my brother got to work for a Navy contractor working on aircraft carriers. The being happy to see your siblings or your friends succeed. Seeing my sister at her senior clarinet recital several years back was a huge excitement because it was the culmination of 4 years of work for her. You want to know that your siblings are okay physically, that they're okay emotionally. You're there for them as a shoulder to cry on when they need it. You listen to them when they need to talk. They listen to you when you have something that you need to talk about. Think about what you would do for your sibling or your close friend. Really, is there anything that you wouldn't do for them? That is the attitude that God wants or intends for all believers to have towards each other. Can you imagine what it would do for a congregation if everyone had this attitude of love and affection toward each other? Would there still be disagreements? Of course. I don't know about you, but I fought with my brother and sister all the time. But would those disagreements become so bitter? Probably not, because no matter how much you argue, no matter how much you disagree, you're still family, you still love each other, you still want what's best for each other. At the end of the day, you are still brothers and sisters. Turning it around, members would also take a greater interest in each other's struggles. Now, we're not talking about gossip here. We're talking about caring for one another. The good question that I've used a lot is, how can I pray for you this week? Knowing the struggles so that you can bear them with one another and bring them to God together in prayer. It also means trusting one another enough to share our own weaknesses and struggles with those who can bear them along with us. Understanding brotherly love in this way, how does it play into our daily lives and within the church? The writer to the Hebrews gives quite a few examples in our text today, starting right off the bat in verse 2 with hospitality. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Hospitality is a huge thing in Bible times because there really weren't so much inns or hotels to stay at. You would stay with friends or neighbors when you were traveling. A couple years ago, some of you may remember Kevin Kong, a DCE student from Concordia University, Irvine, who was preparing for a mission trip or preparing to spend his 2-year internship in Hong Kong. He drove out to Iowa to stay at or to visit at the Mission Central there. And then he basically just came down to 70 and took 70 back out to California, stopping at the various Lutheran churches on the way. And we were one of his first stops here in Kansas. Amy and I hosted him for a night. We fed him. He stayed and came to our vacation Bible school with us for at least one day. I think it was two even. And then we sent him on his way to the next church that he was staying at. That is hospitality. It doesn't just need to be someone who is traveling, though. Invite the neighbor who's going through a rough patch to come over for dinner. Maybe take a single mom out for coffee just to visit, or watch the kids so she can have some time alone. The second thing that the writer talks about is visiting those who are in prison. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. And this is something that people can push back against prison ministry. If someone breaks the law, do they need to face legal consequences for their sin? Yes. Prison ministry isn't about those legal consequences, though. It is about the eternal consequences. Showing that God forgives their sins and showing that God still loves people even in the darkest and worst moments of their life. Sometimes those who are in jail and their family need our brotherly love and support more than anyone else. Marriage is the next one up in verse 4. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterous. Marriage is incredibly important to children. The marriage is the first relationship that children actually see or witness, and it has a huge it is reflected in all of their future relationships. The way that you treat your spouse has an impact on how your child will treat other people, and especially the opposite sex. Statistically, a child whose parents divorce is more likely to experience divorce in their own marriage, though that is never a certainty. But honoring your spouse is also important for you both, for both of you and for the church. The relational struggles that come with marital difficulty aren't a laughing matter, and in fact, the church itself is grieved when any member struggles. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. We as a church bear with one another's suffering and one another's joys. Honoring your marriage is about treating your spouse better than you would wish to be treated, putting your spouse's needs above your own. If both of you do that, no one should feel neglected. Setting aside time for each other. Ultimately, all of these are blessings that God gives to us, ways that we can show care and love for one another. But of course, the origin of any of this love that we show is ultimately from Jesus. The love that we have is sinful, it is fallen, it is marred by selfishness, but the love that Jesus has is perfect and holy. Ours is only a poor reflection of the love that God has given to us. Jesus is the brother closer than any sibling who perfectly puts all of our needs ahead of his own. He willingly did what was best for us, even knowing as he did so that it would cost everything. He died willingly, knowing that it forgives you. His death reconciles us to God and reconciles us to one another. He put aside his own wants and needs to do for us what we were not in a position to do for ourselves. He cleans up our sinful mess for us, heedless of the cost to himself. He sacrificed his all for us. And he stands beside us in all the most difficult moments of our life because he loves you. And that is the love that we share with one another. Is our love perfect? No. But the one who loves us is perfect. And it is in him that our love becomes complete. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, as we allow brotherly love to continue among us and among all people. Amen.